VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The People's Republic of China. The news about Shanghai, a city of 26 million. Shanghai on Sunday, day hours past, discharged over 11,000 recovered COVID-19 patients, and health authorities emphasize that they must be allowed to return home despite the lockdown that has severely restricted movement in China's largest city. This is Market Watch picking up on AP. And I ask Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague, and Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute in Toronto to help me understand the mysteries of this event. Why Shanghai? Why the lockdown? What does this mean about the leadership in Beijing? Gordon, I start with you because you've been to Shanghai. What does this city represent different from Beijing? What is the fact of locking 26 million people in their apartments, some with food security issues? What does that mean for the Communist Party headquartered in Beijing? Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. Well, Shanghainese consider themselves to be the center of China. And of course, it has been China's financial center, business center. Although in a communist state, probably the center of power would be Beijing, which would really mean the center of economic power as well. But nonetheless, Shanghai is a critical city. It has been through some very difficult times in the last few weeks. This COVID matter has, and the lockdowns have caused extreme public frustration, anger, and discontent. We've had Chinese people stream out of their apartments in violation of the COVID restrictions to actually find food, because many people are actually have no food and have had no food for a week or so. And John, one other thing, although this was originally supposed to be a two-phase, five-day lockdown for each side of the city, people have been in their homes now for about 21, 22 days and have no end in sight to the isolation of measures.
Charles, in the early hours of the pandemic revelations in 2020, my memory is that there was video of Chinese authorities. These are big, strong people in uniforms you couldn't penetrate with masks on their faces, nailing shut doors or doorways from residential towers. That seemed at the time bizarre. Now, more than 2 years later, is this lockdown meant to be punitive? Is it meant to be in some way health-related, locking people up without adequate food sources?
Well, certainly I think that Gordon's point is well made, that Shanghai is a separate culture from the rest of China. The language is different. And, you know, China is ruled by people from the north, but the economy comes from people from the south. And historically, in the earlier years of the revolution, the central government just drained Shanghai dry by overtaxing it so that Shanghai remained economically undeveloped while providing so much of the economic activity of China. So the fact that the government in Beijing is essentially imprisoning all 26 million people in Shanghai in their apartments and not letting them to move around freely, you know, has more resonance than it might have in a northern city because of the complicated relationship between Beijing and the people in Shanghai who see themselves as a separate sort of race. I think that, you know, there are terrible situations. I mean, I have a friend in Shanghai who is about to run out of prescription medicine and doesn't know how he's going to refill and what the consequences will be if he has to suddenly stop taking critical heart medicine. So, you know, you're hearing stories of people whose mothers have been transported to hospital and have died in hospital, and the family can't get to the hospital to attend to the tragedy because they're living in separate you know, lockdown regions. So it could lead to distress, and it's certainly having an impact all over the country, as all sorts of other cities are anticipating that they may end up essentially in prison and are desperately trying to get as much stocks in case the Shanghai policies are applied to, you know, any other of the cities roundabout or all over China. So I think the government's policies are causing a great deal of distress and anxiety for the people of China, who don't really understand why this is necessary when, you know, in a city of 26 million, you only have 1,000 symptomatic cases recorded and 25,000 asymptomatic. But the result is that everybody is restricted from normal life.
Gordon, I read from the AP report. According to the Global Times, platforms such as JD.com as well as Alibaba's ELE.me delivery apps are working with authorities to ensure that everyone has access to vegetables, fruits, and other produce. That sounds like there's trouble, Gordon. What is Global Times? Why would they be representing something that the anecdote says is not true? How does this help?
Yeah. This doesn't help, John, because people in Shanghai know they're not getting food. There have been numerous reports, many of them on Twitter, people talking about their situations. And it's really horrific in terms of not, as Charles said, not getting access to medicines, but also not getting access to food. People being physically welded into their apartments. This is extraordinary. We've seen some of these things in, for instance, Xi'an a few months ago. But nonetheless, they seem to be spreading around China. Shanghai is not the only place to go through these extraordinary measures. The Wall Street Journal reports that more than 70 cities have been locked down or subject to coronavirus control measures since the middle of last month. And that represents 40% of China's gross domestic product.
It's 2 years into the pandemic, Gordon. We've learned a great deal about Alpha, about Delta, about Omicron, B1, B2. Is there a problem with their vaccines, Gordon? Is that why the fear level here? Does Sinovac and Sinopharm not work?
They don't work against Omicron BA2, which is the subvariant that is ripping through Shanghai and Jilin province, and now Guangzhou, the capital of Guangdong province. So I think the regime is really worried that there are going to be many more cases. Remember that in the early part of this epidemic, China made its control of the virus a test of its legitimacy and criticized the United States and others for not being able to control the disease. Now China can't control this disease as it melts away from the rest of the world. And so I think that especially in the run-up to the 20th National Congress, perhaps be held this fall, this is an extremely sensitive time. So the regime is taking measures which may make political sense for a few people in Beijing, but make no sense at all for everybody else in China.
Charles, the United States on Saturday, goes the AP, advised citizens to reconsider traveling to China due to arbitrary enforcement. They mention especially risk of parents and children being separated. What are they talking about, Charles? What's going on over there?
Well, there was a situation where children who tested positive, typically asymptomatic, were being taken away to sports stadiums and other temporary facilities for isolation and separated from their parents, which, you know, led to an enormous outcry. They've since modified this policy and are allowing, under certain conditions, the parents to accompany the children, but you're not allowed to quarantine at home. You know, everybody at home has tested negative. And so from that point of view, that was a horrendous mistake on the part of the government in terms of causing even more panic among the citizenry than they have by imprisoning people. If you take small children away from their parents and their parents can't access them naturally, you know, just by any kind of human value, this is a terrible thing for a regime to do. So, you know, I think in general, aside from everybody in China being concerned that they're going to be put into prison and won't have enough, imprisoned in their homes and won't have enough food, or maybe taken to isolation facilities, you know, mass isolation facilities, there's also the whole question of you know, is the regime actually serving the interests of the Chinese people, or is this a political movement gone wild because Xi Jinping says we have to persist in our zero COVID policy and that's the road to victory, and we'll probably be wanting to do that until the next party Congress in the fall. So we have a lot of months and weeks ahead of possible, you know, great pressure put on the population and disruption to the Chinese economy before Mr. Xi decides that his position is sufficiently consolidated that maybe they can adjust the policy and say, in effect, our previous policy was not working properly. We need a new one. And I would say, with regard to that video on the news, which I saw, of the government giving assurances that they're working with these food delivery companies to ensure everybody has enough food, you know, the rule of thumb is if you see something in the Chinese media, it indicates likely that something the opposite is happening. So, you know, when there are tensions in Tibet, they say Tibetans are delighted with the party's religion policy. And, when we're getting more concerned about the genocide program in Xinjiang, they'll report that the Uyghurs are very happy with the government's policy. So when they're telling you that everything is going very well with food delivery in Shanghai, you can be pretty sure that that's indicative of the opposite.
Charles Burton, a senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute, reminding us that we never want to hear from China that the comet is going to miss us. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.